You know, as I go through the book of Acts, it seems like there's themes that kind of seem to move along, and then we move along to something else, and we're continuing with a theme here this morning that we were talking about a bit last week, about this whole idea of what it means to really know God as opposed to just knowing of Him. Last week we were talking about Apollos and how Apollos was one who knew about Jesus and preached from the Scriptures, and he was zealous about what he was sharing. But as we discovered, he hadn't really understood the whole thing yet, and he was introduced to the Holy Spirit, which was Christ's presence in us and in him. And he went from knowing of to really knowing. And we're going to experience some more of that today. I wanted to ask you a question. How many of you know Jared Goff? No, you don't. You know of Jared Goff. And I know of Jared Goff, but I don't know Jared Goff. For those of you who don't follow sports, he's the Detroit Lions quarterback. I don't know him, and I don't think there's anyone here who knows him, but you know of Jared Goff, and there's a big difference, isn't there? Think about that for a moment. How many of you know my brother Roger? I don't think anyone here knows my brother Roger. He's from Wisconsin. He doesn't get up this way very often. Usually when he does, he has to go back before Sunday. And sometimes if he comes up, he's with my brother up north, and they go to church up in Pickford. But I know my brother Roger. I know him intimately. We call every now and then and talk about life and stuff and what's going on in our families. You see, what I want us to get this morning is the difference between knowing of someone and knowing them. And I can truly say I know him. Now, some of you, there's a few of you that know my brother Jeff. I could look way back there in the back and see Christy and Ken, who have experienced my brother Jeff on mission trips. And so they just didn't know of my brother Jeff. They know Jeff. Not like I do yet, but they know Jeff. Some of you might even know my brother Eric up north. So I want us to think that way when we're going through the text this morning and see what's going on in the book of Acts in chapter 19. As I said, if you go back to Apollos, you can see he knew the Scriptures. He instructed people in the way of the Lord. He spoke with fervor and accuracy about Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, he actually got to know him. And now here we are with some disciples in Ephesus. These were disciples of John the Baptist. They had experienced John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. They knew about Jesus, but they didn't really know Jesus, similar to Apollos. Here in this text, they experience something rather magnificent. As you read those first few verses again in chapter 19, here they are. Paul says to them in verse 3, "What baptism did you receive?" "Oh, John's," they replied. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. They knew of Jesus at this point, but they didn't really know Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, something very marvelous happened to them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were 12 of them that were there. In the book of Acts, there were three different people groups thus far that when they were introduced to Jesus, everyone responded in the same way. It was as if God was trying to say, "My word is available to everyone." The Jews, the Greeks, these Ephesus believers that had known about the baptism of John but did not know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. What does it mean then when they heard about this and responded the way they did? What does it mean to be baptized into the name of Jesus? Here's what I believe it means. It's a total renunciation of independent living. Think about that for a moment. It is a total renunciation of independent living. What's that mean? I am now totally reliant on Jesus. Not reliant on myself. You know, when you and I are reliant on myself to handle all of life's problems, what typically happens? We mess it all up, don't we? Eventually, we might do good for a little while, but eventually we mess it up because life throws things at us and the devil himself will throw things at us that makes things pretty bad. Now, here's just the first half of this. A total renunciation of independent living and an acknowledgement of the totally dependent living on and in the Holy Spirit of God, Christ's presence in us. That's what it really means to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit when I'm filled with myself. You can't. I don't care how you act or what you do. If you are filled with yourself, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So in a sense, to be baptized into the name of Jesus and understand fully what was going on, they were renouncing their independent living and now announcing their acknowledgement that they were going to be totally dependent on Him. Now, you and I may live in and outside of that from times in our life. There are times that I am not filled with God's Holy Spirit because I'm all about me. Whatever it is that's going on, it's all about me. Now, I might have the Holy Spirit present in my life, but I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit of God when I am trying to do what I want to do instead of what God wants me to do. This new relationship puts Jesus entirely at the helm. And when Jesus is entirely at the helm, it's amazing what can happen, isn't it? It was powerfully manifest in each people group in Acts when they received the Holy Spirit of God and they understood that this relationship was about a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Jews, the Gentiles, John's disciples, and this powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit was displayed for the benefit of both the recipients and the presenters. Here's what happened in Acts. And what you find then, those who lived under the filling of the Holy Spirit of God were faithful, and it led to results. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, kept at it. Verses 8 through 12, he kept at it even though there are those who were obstinate and those who didn't want to hear him, those who wanted to kick him out. He continued to preach the Word of God because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And even though he met resistance, he would go on from them to others to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. The thing about Paul, which should be the thing about us as well, is we're not so concerned about the results. All we should be concerned about is being faithful. Sometimes you and I place upon ourselves the need to be successful, the need to have results from my life in Christ, and I want to make sure that there is ample fruit out there from what I continue to do. But we are called not to produce the results, but we are called to be faithful. I've shared with you before, several years ago, about a young man in my life, a friend of mine that I had worked on for years to get him to come to Jesus, and he was really hard to deal with because he was a good guy. Those are harder to reach than the bad people, because the bad people know they're the bad. He was a good guy, but he didn't know Jesus. I worked on him and worked on him and worked on him and worked on him, and I wasn't having really any success. He was still a good guy. But then one time he went to a Christian band. I can't remember what it was back then. But to listen to the gospel being shared by this group of musicians, and he gave his life to Christ, and I wasn't even there. And he came back, and my first reaction from that was, well, I wanted to do that. I thought, how stupid, Dave. The guy is now a child of God. You should be jumping up down for joy. But, you know, here I was. It was me. And it wasn't him. We can get that way sometimes. I am not responsible. I am not responsible for results. The results, God is. I am called to be faithful. And as you and I live our lives being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we are called to be faithful and let God do the mighty things. And boy, did he ever. Did you read about Paul here? The mighty things he did through Paul? Handkerchiefs that he had touched and some other stuff, and they'd send him over to the sick, and the sick would touch the handkerchiefs, and boom, they were healed. You know, God did some pretty awesome things back then. But God is doing some pretty awesome things today too, folks. It didn't end in the New Testament in AD 60, 70, 80, 50, whatever it was. God is doing awesome and wonderful things even today in the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have placed him in a box. God did mighty things through Paul because Paul understood that he was renouncing his independent living and totally dependent on living on and in the Holy Spirit of God, baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, his Lord and his Savior. We learn later on in that text something else. You can't fake it. You remember what we were talking about? There were the others, the seven sons of Sceva that were out there and doing things they were doing in the name of Jesus. But listen to this text so you understand what really was happening. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. You see, they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They were preaching in the name of the one who Paul preaches. You see what was going on here? You can't fake it. And in this particular case, the evil spirit said, hey, chump, I don't know you. I know Paul. I know Jesus. I don't know you. See, folks, we can't fake it. God wants transparency in the Church of Jesus Christ. He takes us the way we are, you know, with all of our warts and our moles, with all of our idiosyncrasies, with all of our shortcomings. And God says, I want to use you just as you are. Just be faithful to me. And if you are faithful to me, I will use you for my glorious purposes. And if you're faithful to me, totally and completely renouncing your independent living and living for me entirely and completely in and through the Holy Spirit of God, God says, I will fill you with all that you need, the Holy Spirit of God, to do whatever it is I call you to do. And there is no one that gets in the way from that. No one or nothing. I wish you and I would push for that in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we're still sometimes thinking, well, I want some of you, but I want some of me too. I want to be semi-independent on you, God. Can I just stick you on the shelf, and when I need you, I'll grab you and take you down and say, help me, God, I'm in a mess. Instead of living completely and utterly dependent upon him and no one else. You can't fake it. If you aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, you're doing it in your own power. And if you're doing it in your own power, you are doomed to failure. Not in the name of Jesus whom Paul speaks of, but in the name of Jesus whom I know and you know. Not know of, but in the name of Jesus, the one I know. Because he changed my life. And he came into my life as he comes into your life. So here's what I ask us to do as we close this morning. Let go and let God. That means renounce again, as I said earlier, that independent Christian living. That idea that I can kind of be one foot in and one foot out. I want to do it my way, but God, sometimes when in trouble, I want to do it your way. No. Let's attempt to live our life in such a way that I say, God, I'm a willing vessel. I don't want to be independent anymore. You're my lifeline. You're my umbilical cord. You're my source of life. And so I want to renounce anything and everything that falls outside of that, and I just want to follow you. Embrace total dependency on Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we start to experience the power of God in our lives through His Holy Spirit. This is not the God of the New Testament that changed once it got 2,000 years down the road. It's the same God back there that He is here today. And I don't think we've even begun to tap in to the power of God in our lives. Can you imagine a whole church totally, totally dependent on God? Wow. We aren't there. But let's keep striving to get there. And realize that God uses us, broken vessels. He says, a broken and contrite heart He will not despise. That's the heart He works with and takes us and transforms us into the people He wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for using us as broken, as messed up, as confused perhaps as we are. You use us for Your glorious purposes. Help us, O God, not to be people that just want to be partly in, but God, help us to be people that want to be all the way in, totally dependent on You. It's hard to do, because the devil doesn't want us to do that. Because if we're like that, he can't even get near us. God, work in our lives. Work in Your church here and around the world so that people who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ and only know of Jesus Christ and some who've never heard of Jesus Christ would realize You're the answer. You are the answer. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.